Today's lessons, psalm, and gospel are an embarrassment of riches, each worthy of its own focus. The book of Acts remembers Paul's encounter with Lydia, a wealthy dealer in purple cloth, an amazing feat for a woman during the male-dominated Roman Empire. You see, Tyrian purple was made from boiling snails, lots of snails in lead vats, so it required production, many people and salaries involved in the process. Finally, a purpose for big snails that attack my garden. As purple was reserved for royalty, finally even bishops, it designated status. Expensive because its beauty was so unnatural. You see, in the sun, the cheap stuff would quickly revert to its blues and reds. Paul's relationship with Lydia is a reminder of the high regard he and Jesus had for women far ahead of their time. Fact is, I'm convinced that without the dedication, financial support, and energy of women then and through history and now, the church would not have gone very far. Women in the church, you rate a wow. At the same time, it's a stark reminder of the present attempt to turn the clock back to the subjection of women, making them second-class citizens, denying them reproductive freedom, unable to control their own bodies and futures, the government forcing women to give birth. Sentences from General Convention 2018 reveal the balanced, nuanced stand of the Episcopal Church on this issue. Full text available online for this and for 2019. Quote, respecting that all life is sacred, the Episcopal Church calls for women's reproductive health as an integral part of a woman's struggle to assert her dignity and worth as a human being. Any legislation regarding abortion must take special care that the individual conscience is respected and that the individual reaches an informed decision. As late as the 1930s, the marriage bar in England and tradition here in the United States decreed that, quote, women often had to decide between a career of enforced celibacy or marriage and the life of a stay-at-home wife. A popular T-shirt at General Convention in 1976 read, a woman's place is in the house. And on the back read, of bishops. So it came to pass that in Boston, February 11th, 1989, 62 male bishops consecrated Barbara Harris as the first woman bishop in the Anglican Communion, my role to plan and execute the Eucharist for 8,000 people, accomplished with 57 communion stations in 15 minutes. I kidded the choir director that we beat him by two anthems. I think Paul would be proud of our affirmation of women that day. Jesus too. Someday, the Romans and Orthodox will catch up. They are missing an amazing pool of women ready to serve the church as priests and bishops. Male superiority, almost as difficult to unseat as white supremacy. The Episcopal Church standing against both. Few psalms are more beautiful than 67. Let your ways be known upon earth, your saving health among all nations. I'm glad our new translation is more accurate. The words fear of God, rightly translated and replaced as the awe of God. Not scared. Consider the recent discovery of Sagittarius A, the massive black hole at the center of our galaxy, 4 million times bigger than our sun. 27,000 light years away from Earth. Another wow. The awe of life indeed. Today's lesson brought a paradigm change for me. One of my favorite sayings is, you can complain that roses have thorns, or you can rejoice that thorns have roses. Same with the Bible. Now imagine this. Stories of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, and Noah's flood, based on even more ancient tales, come from the Stone Age. Stories of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, and the Exodus from Egypt from the Bronze Age. Stories of Samuel, Saul, David, Solomon, and the prophets from the Iron Age. Have you ever thought about that? Why should we listen to them? But out of those ancient times came a flowering beyond imagination, like today's reading from the Revelation of John. Illegal to be Christian back then, it was written in code, much like the biblical code sung in spirituals by black slaves right under the nose of their white masters. When Israel was in Egypt's land, let my people go. Oppressed so hard they could not stand, let my people go. Right under their noses, they were singing about their own situation through the Bible in code. Cool. The Revelation is a magnificent vision of peace on earth, when people live by truth, drink from the water of life, worship the God of reality and love, God as the light. It rates a wow. Read it again sometime. Like reading Hebrew, I began reading backwards, thinking of how all those people in ages past struggled to figure out the meaning of life, their history, the purpose of their lives, just as we in the atomic age, some say the computer age, struggle with ours, wondering if we'll survive. And right now, that's a real question. What does it all mean? Those ancient people, more similar to us than we imagine. Many generations after Jesus' death, John wrote a magnificent theology, our fourth gospel, which is really not about the life and death of Jesus itself, but a reflection on the meaning of that life and death. Today's reading part of his priestly farewell discourse. John's question, how did Jesus' spirit continue in the church? He imagined Jesus preparing the disciples for his leaving in order for them to see him in a new form. Like transforming water into steam, John says Jesus will return to them spiritually. This is all from hindsight, looking back. He was saying, as long as the human Jesus was with them, his fleshly body was bound by the limits of time and space. Now he won't be. After he ascends into heaven, which is God's temple, his spirit can be with them in all times, in all places. The Interpreter's one-volume commentary writes beautifully, his ascension assures his omnipresence to his own, wherever they may be and forever. He will send them the Parakletos, literally, one called alongside to help. It's a wonderful definition. Translated, advocate, spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit comes from the Father in Jesus' name and dwells with the disciples. The presence of God in Christ continuing with his faithful servants and witnesses after the ascension of Jesus, fulfilling and perfecting his work. Another wow. That's a good description. Recalling words from the angel at Jesus' birth and death, John writes, fear not. This good news can happen to you. So, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. I leave you peace, wholeness, no matter what's happening outside. Peace, wholeness inside yourself. Can you hear those words? In a troubling time, roses among thorns. In the darkness, there's a light, healing in the pain, hope for the years to come, hope always a gift to us from God, meeting us from the future. This coming week, we celebrate the feast day of the Ascension. So remember the rule of nature. What goes up must come down. Next Sunday, Pentecost. I wish you a happy birthday in advance.